All right, would you pray with me? Father God, I thank you this morning as we take just a few minutes this morning to look into your word. Jesus, thank you for saving us. Jesus, thank you for sacrificing yourself for us. It's amazing that you would do that. Jesus, I'm so humbled this morning to call myself pastor of Tulia Christian Fellowship. I'm so humbled to be a pastor of such a great church, of such an amazing, great group of believers, and that your grace is on all that we're doing. Father, I pray that everyone here would have open ears and open hearts, and that you would strengthen us and encourage us today. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Obviously, I have a white flag on the stage, and what that white flag represents is surrender. This is a pole that I use at my house. If you've driven by my house before, I generally fly a flag in front of my house. Most of the time, it's the Texas flag. Hurrah for Texas. Amen. All right. Sometimes it's an American flag. Sometimes I have other flags that I fly. Well, all week long, I've been flying this white flag. I've tweeted pictures of it. And what I want to talk to you about this morning is surrendering. I hope my neighbors have driven by my house and thought, what in the world is Pastor doing flying a white flag? Well, what that flag represents is surrender. And I want to talk to you this morning about you surrendering your life to Christ. Now, I'm not talking about you getting saved, okay? I'm assuming that the majority of you in here have invited Jesus Christ into your life. I did that when I was 12 years old. What I'm talking about is once you've done that, once you've made that decision, then surrendering your life to Christ, surrendering your family, your business, your work, your kids, your money, surrendering it to God. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. The flag was used as a form of surrender in the military about 100 years after the death of Christ. The Romans commonly used it. Now, the Romans weren't defeated very often at all until the end of the empire. But the Romans, the enemies they faced, would use a white flag to surrender. Here's the modern meaning of it today. It's an international sign of truce and ceasefire. It means to request a truce. It is the weaker party or parties surrendering to the stronger. Now, let me give you Christianity 101. 101 is a simple little phrase for college classes, and what it means is something that's basic and simple. Okay, here's Christianity 101 this morning. God is good, and he offers life. The devil is bad, and he offers death. God is good. The devil is bad. The devil primarily works through our culture, and he wants to lure you into the culture, and he wants to disguise death as life. God is good. The devil is bad. That's very simple and very powerful. Here's surrender 101. Surrender in its most basic form. God is strong and he's in control. You are weak and you are not. Let me say it again. God is strong and he's in control. You are weak and you are not. Now, men, I'm not saying you're weak. I know some of you guys in here are very strong. I'm not talking about physical strength. I'm talking about you being in control of the world and you being in control of your life. And I want to encourage you this morning in that regard. Let me read to you out of Matthew 16 this morning. Jesus is speaking, and he starts in verse 24. Listen to what he says. Jesus said to his disciples, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it." Now listen, that's the paradox of the kingdom of God. What does it mean? You see, anything in life that you're trying to hang on to and you won't surrender it, you won't give it to God, what Jesus says is probably it's not going to do or become what you want it to. But if you can open your hands in faith, open your hands in trust and say, "God, I surrender my life. God, I surrender my business. God, I surrender my marriage." Jesus said, "I'll take that and I'll bless it and I'll give it back to you better than it was." Listen to the next sentence. "What do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul?" Wow, that's pretty powerful. Let me read it to you one more time. "What do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but you lose your own soul?" Excuse me. Is anything worth more than your soul? Three simple things can keep you from surrender this morning. The first is just human ego. I mean, we're human and we have an ego. And I like what I do and I like my life and I just have an ego and I don't want to give my life over to God. The second is just simple human pride. Now listen, I was raised I think there can be a good kind of pride and a bad kind of pride. Okay, I was raised, my dad used to always say, blood's thicker than water. I have no idea what that means, okay? But what it meant to him is it's all for one and one for all, and we're family and we take care of each other. One time my brother was in junior high and he had a fist fight. And when we got home from school, I got a whipping. My brother had a fight and I got a whipping. Okay, my brother had a fight and I got a whipping. Something's wrong with that picture, is there not? Okay, you know what my dad said? If he fights, you fight. If he gets whipped, you get whipped. Whoever he fights, you fight. They have to whip both of you. He never had a fight by himself ever again. Because I'd rather get beat up than get whipped by daddy, right? Okay, and the point of that is what? There's nothing wrong with family pride, but if you're not careful, you can take it too far. And the Bible says that God resists the proud. The third thing that'll keep you from surrender is proficiency. Let me explain to you what I mean. Proficiency is anything that you're good at. As I look across this room, many of you have talents and gifts and abilities. Many of you are good with cattle. You're good with machinery. You have medical training. You are so talented and gifted across this room, and you can do amazing things. And here's the danger. See, when you get good at something, if you're not careful, you just think, hey, God, I know how to do this. I've done this before, and I don't really need your help, and you don't surrender it to God. And here's what happens. Anytime you hold on to something and won't surrender, God says, okay, you take care of it. So you don't want to let ego, you don't want to let pride, and you don't want to let proficiency keep you from surrendering to God. Okay, Pastor, how do I know to surrender? Listen to this statement. You know you've surrendered to God when you rely on God to work things out instead of you trying to manipulate others, force your agenda, control the situation. You let go and you let God work. You do not have to always be in charge. There's an American car rental company called Avis, and they've been in business for many, many years. And for the last 50 years, their advertising slogan was one simple statement. And it's so powerful that I can remember it even as a child when I was a kid, and I can remember it today. And here's what they said. We try harder. Three simple words. And that was how they used it to get customers. And we know what that means. Avis was letting us know, hey, if you rent our cars, we'll take care of you. We'll keep them clean. We'll give you a good price. And you'll want to come back to us. We try harder. But here's the sad thing about that. That's how many people live their Christian life. Their motto is, I try harder. But listen to me very carefully. God is not interested in you trying harder. Instead of trying harder, he wants you to trust him more. Here's what I want to encourage you to do this morning. Instead of trying, start trusting. You see, that's what surrender is. God, I'm not going to try anymore. I'm going to begin to trust you. And as I do that, as I surrender, you're going to take care of me. Let me read you Psalms 37. Psalms 37, 3 through 5 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Now, there's more to that verse, and I'm going to read it. But listen to this right here. It's so powerful. Two simple truths. The first thing he says is, hey, trust me. Trust me. And while you trust me, do some good things. This past week, I was at the hospital in Plainview. I had some tests run. And I wasn't in the hospital. It was an outpatient thing. And I went for a test. Well, I went in and sat down, and there was a lady older than me, and I went up and said, do you mind if I sit here? And she said, no, I don't mind, so I sat down next to her. Well, for about the next minute, I didn't say anything, she didn't say anything, and we both just kind of stared straight ahead. Now, she didn't have a phone, and I don't have a phone, and so I looked at her, and I said, hey, how are you doing? And she said, hey, I'm doing fine. And we began to visit, and we began to talk, and we visited for about 30 minutes. Let me help you with something. The world is looking for help. The world is looking for hope. The world is looking for answers. And all you have to do is smile and say hello and ask somebody a question or two, and they'll open up like a flower. And that's exactly what this lady did. And I talked to her for a good 20 or 30 minutes. The young girl came out and said, Mr. Gray, do you want to come back? And as I got up and I was walking with her, here's what she said. Is that your grandma? And I said, no, sweetie, my grandma's in heaven with Jesus. Oh, she said, I thought you were related to that lady. Here's what encouraged me. I hope that I was kind enough to that lady thought I was related to her. And something good happened. Listen to what it says. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Then you'll live safely in the land and prosper. Now, there's a big thing going on right now in our culture with safety, right? I saw on the news just this week where they're saying terrorists are trying to put bombs on laptops, and it can make you fearful. But listen to the promise of God. God says if you'll trust him and you'll do good things, you'll live safely in the land and you'll prosper. Then verse 4 says, take delight in the Lord, and he'll give you your heart's desire. Now, here's what I want you to see that's so powerful. There's a lot in that. If you'll trust God and do good and open your hands and surrender to him, he'll give you what you're longing for. He'll give you the desires of your heart. You cannot fulfill God's purpose for your life while focusing on your own plans. Let me read it to you one more time. You cannot fulfill God's purpose for your life while focusing on your own plans. Now, I'm not saying don't have plans. Okay, I have plans. I have a calendar on my iPad, and the first thing I do when I get up in the morning, not the first thing I do some other things, but I look at it in the morning to see what's going on in my day and what's going on in my week. God's not against you having plans. Here's what he doesn't like. He doesn't like it when he has no part in your plans. You see, God doesn't want you to have your own life and your own agenda apart from him. He wants the opportunity to be involved in your life. He wants you to surrender. He wants you to raise the white flag, if you will, and say, God, I surrender and I want to give my life to you. Let me read to you out of Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8. It says, and yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We all are formed by your hand. And I love that. That's just a simple analogy, and it's very common in the Bible. And here's what it says. It says that God's the potter and that we are the clay. Now, here's the thing. Clay doesn't tell the potter what to do. The potter tells the clay what to do. The clay doesn't say to the potter, oh, I want to be a vase or I want to be a glass. No, the clay doesn't decide. The potter does. My daughter, Ashley, she teaches right down here at the Tulia Junior High School. She teaches sixth grade. And ever since she was a little girl, she wanted to be a teacher. She would go to school, come home, and play school. Well, when she graduated high school, she went and did the necessary training, got the right degree, and now she's a teacher there. Listen to me. The potter put that desire inside her heart. And now that desire is fulfilled in her life. She is the clay and he is the potter. Listen to me. God is forming and shaping and molding you. And here, be encouraged. See, you don't have to be afraid. Because I know sometimes you think, oh, great, what's God going to do to me? Well, he's not going to do anything to you. It's what he's going to do for you. He's your father. And he loves you and he has plans for you. And they're good plans. Listen to me carefully. I want you to go home today, and I want you to let all your relatives off the potter's wheel because you're not the potter, God is. There's a story that I heard many years ago by Joyce Meyer, and she was frustrated with her husband. I believe his name is Dave. And she was always nagging him, pressuring him, pushing him. I don't think push him in physically, but, you know, just always putting pressure on him, and she wanted him to change. She didn't like that he played golf. She thought he played too much. And there was always just this pressure on him. And she would also pray for him because she was a Christian. And one time in prayer, this is what God told her. Joyce, you want me to put my hands on your husband, but then you want to put your hands over my hands and you want to guide the process. And here's what God said to her. Either I'm going to put my hands on him or you're going to put your hands on him, but we're not going to both put our hands on him. Now, don't miss this statement. I want to say it to you one more time. Go home and let all your relatives, all your friends, all your coworkers off the potter's wheel because you are not the potter. God is. Let me read to you out of Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And here's what that verse says. That verse says that you and I don't belong to ourselves. We belong to God. He's our Father. He's the potter. And he sent his son Jesus to shed his blood. And you and I have been purchased. Now, don't miss this. You see, you've been created by God, but then you've been purchased by God. And the life that you and I live in the flesh, our natural, normal, everyday life, does not belong to me. It belongs to God. Here's what we do. I hope everyone in this room knows Jesus is their Savior. If you've not, that's very simple. You just ask him into your life. But what happens is when we come to that place where we receive Christ, then here's what we tell God. Hey, I'll see you at the end of my life. I'll see you in 20 years or 30 years or 40 years or 50 years. But Lord, I'm going to live my life. I want you as my Savior. But then all this time in between, I'm going to do whatever I want. And I'm going to live the way I want. I'm going to work where I want. I'm going to do what I want with my money. But then the day's going to come. I'm going to stand at the gate. Oh, Lord, I got my ticket. Lord, it's kind of tattered. I've had it in my pocket for 50 years. It's gotten washed a time or two, but I think it's still good. Oh, yeah, Lord, I know I never talked to you because I always did what I wanted. I didn't ever do what you wanted, but let me in. Here's my ticket. That's what we sadly do. That's not God's best. That's not God's heart for your life. You do know that Jesus is Lord, and the word Lord means boss. You see, Jesus is my boss. And here's what he wants. He wants you and I to surrender. He wants you and I to raise the white flag. And he wants us to surrender our jobs, or maybe it's your business, or maybe it's your money. That's another thing we do. Jesus, you can have my heart, but you can't have my wallet. Oh, Jesus, you can have my job, or you can have my wife, Lord. That's a better one, right? Lord, take her, please. Do something with her, right? Right? Or take my husband, Lord, do something with him. But you can't have my business, Lord. That's my baby. So we have a hard time. And all I want you to understand this morning is God wants all of you. He wants your heart, then everything else follows. Now, I'm not asking you to just surrender today. I'm asking you to do that today. But I believe it's something that we do daily. It's something we do often. Oh, a few years ago, you know, I had detached retina in my eye and I had to have surgery. And after I had surgery, the doctor repaired my eye and he said, now go home and you're going to lay on your face for 12 days because I've put a bubble inside your eye and that bubble has to touch the back of your eye. So you have to lay face down for 45 minutes, then you can get up for 15 minutes. Then you lay face down for 45 minutes, then you can get up for 15 minutes. And you have to stay that way 24 hours a day. For 12 days. Well, at night, I borrowed a massage table from Greg and Glenda Birkenfeld. And you know, it has that slit for your nose so you can breathe. Well, I would lay flat on that table and I would sleep until my body hurt so bad it would wake me up. Then I would get up and get off that table and I would sit in a chair with a box where I had to lay my face down because I couldn't look up. And I would fall asleep in the chair until my body would hurt so bad it would wake me up. And I would get up and I would lay back on the table. And I did the table, the chair, the table, the chair till the morning. And then I started the routine all day long for 12 days. Now, why are you telling us that, Pastor? Because I had a friend of mine call me after I went through my process, and he said, hey, I'm having to lay on my face and I'm losing my mind. He said, how did you do it? And I said, oh, by the grace of God. And he said, no, really. And I said, no, really, by the grace of God. Here's what I told him. You see, I couldn't trust God for 12 days. That was impossible. I couldn't even trust God for one day. That was too much. But I could trust God for an hour. And when I would lay down on my face for 45 minutes, I said, God, give me the strength and the grace to be able to do this for the next hour. And I went from hour to hour, from day to day, and the 12 days went by. Listen to me. That's exactly how our life is as Christians, in Christ. Okay? I'm not asking you to surrender your life. I'm asking you to surrender today. Then we'll worry about tomorrow later. All right, I'm asking you, if you can't do it for the day, God, I want to surrender the next hour of my life. Or God, I want to surrender the morning. And then after lunch, God, I want to surrender the afternoon. Several months ago, I encouraged you to begin to speak the name of Jesus. Okay, throughout my day, I'll just say the name Jesus out loud. I just say Jesus. And then I begin to say, Jesus, thank you for being my Savior. Then I begin to say, thank you, Jesus, for being my healer. Then I begin to say, thank you, Jesus, for being my peace. Listen, you can say whatever it is you need. Jesus, thank you. You know why it works? Because the name of Jesus is above every name. And that name drives out darkness. That name dispels depression. That name gets rid of discouragement. And it brings life and hope and light and grace. And all you have to do is drive down the road and just say out loud, Jesus. You don't have to scream. You don't have to holler. Now, if you want to holler, you can. I always get in trouble for hollering. My wife says, I can hear you all over Walmart. Right? So when I say Jesus, you know, when I was a kid, right, use your inside voice. I don't have an inside voice. Amen? All I'm saying is you don't have to holler. It's not hollering. It's not what has power. It's the name that has power, Jesus. Now I want you to add something to that. What if each day you started your day and you said, Jesus, I love you. And then you said, Jesus, I want to surrender my day to you. Jesus, I want to surrender my job, my business, my wife, my babies, my grandkids, my wallet. Lord, it scares me to surrender my wallet. Would you show me what to do and how to do it? I have a daily prayer that I pray, and there's this sentence in the prayer. Here's what it says. It says, I surrender every aspect of my life totally and completely to you. There's a song we sang last week called Oh Come to the Altar by Elevation Worship, and there's a line in that song, and it says, have you come to the end of yourself? Now, sadly, I know lots of Christians who have not come to the end of themselves. They're still fighting. They're still stressed. They're still pressured. They're still trying to make it happen. They're still trying harder. Here's what I want to ask you to do this morning. I want you to make a decision that you're done trying. You're done fighting. You're done stressing. You're done hanging on. And you're just going to open your hands and say, Lord, you can have it all. Lord, I want to surrender my life to you this morning. And then when I get up in the morning, I want to surrender my day. And then when it's Tuesday, Lord, I want to surrender my Tuesday. And maybe, Lord, I just need to surrender this next hour because I can't go any further than that. Well, we're going to play that song in just a moment, and I want to ask you to do something this morning. We did this in the other two services, and we had great response. Could I get you to just close your eyes with me this morning for privacy? I'm not trying to be religious. In just a moment, we're going to play the song, Oh Come to the Altar, and we're going to do just that. I'm going to open the altar. You see, this platform is an altar, and the Bible says that if you'll build an altar, God will meet you there. And here's what I want to do this morning. In just a moment, I'm going to step down off this platform right here, and I'm going to get on one knee, and I'm going to surrender my life to Jesus Christ fresh and new. And I'm going to give him my marriage. I'm going to give him my kids. I'm going to give him my future. I'm going to give him this church, and I want to invite you to come and do the same with me. I'm going to lean right here on this altar, and I'm going to give my life fresh and new to Christ. I'm going to surrender. I'm going to raise the white flag and say, Lord, I surrender. I'm tired of struggling. I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of trying harder. And I want to give you the opportunity. Now, I know you may think, Pastor, that embarrasses me. Or, Pastor, I don't know if I can do that. Or, why would you want me to do that? Can't God touch me right where I'm seated? And the answer is, of course, he can touch you where you're seated. But here's the thing. You see, when you get out of your chair, number one, you're telling God, God, I don't care what anybody in this room thinks. All that matters is what you think. You're also telling God, if my pastor wants me to come up front, I'm going up front. The other thing you're telling God is, God, I'm able to surrender my pride. I'm able to surrender my ego, and I'm able to come up front and kneel down. See, it's a form of surrender. Now, we're not playing games this morning. That's not my heart. We're not going to play that game where all the spiritual people are up front and the people that aren't spiritual are still in their seats. We don't play those games here. But here's what I want to do. We're going to play the song, "Oh Come to the Altar." And I just want you to take a minute. We're doing good on time this morning. And I want you to step up front, find a spot. You can come as a family. You can come by yourself. If this front fills up, you can go around to the sides and just take a minute and do business with God and say, "Jesus, I want to surrender it all to you." Now, there's something in your life you've been hanging on to, and only you know what it is. And maybe it's your money, maybe it's your marriage, maybe it's your job. Maybe you've got fear. Maybe you're afraid of sickness and disease. Maybe you've been having panic attacks. Maybe you just got some unknown pain in your body. Maybe you're discouraged. Maybe you've been dealing with depression. But I want you to bring it up front, and I want you to say, "Jesus, here it is. I want to surrender it all to you." Would you go ahead?